Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from Telema Press. Gnostic Radio broadcasts free lectures from the Gnostic tradition of Samael on Vior. Each lecture explores another aspect of this timeless and sacred knowledge. Many of these lectures are supported by additional materials available on our website. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts live. The live lecture is accompanied by an anonymous chat session, allowing listeners to read additional explanations related to the lecture and providing an opportunity to ask questions of the speaker. All of the efforts of Telema Press, including this lecture, are made possible by the financial support of listeners like you. Help us to help humanity by making a donation. Telema Press is a non-profit corporation. Donations are tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering for all creatures, we begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Arcanum number 14. Temperance. This is a beautiful arcanum that shows us three different aspects in relation with the work that all of us should do if we want attain the self-realization of the being. As it is stated in the website, this arcanum is related with three aspects, which are transmutation, transformation, and transubstantiation. As you see in the card, the tarot card, appears an angel that, because of the solar light, is very tan, suntan. Obviously, this is how we had to become filled with solar light. The angel is mixing two elixirs. He is holding two cups or two jars in his hand, which are, of course, the two substances related with the sun and with the moon. The sun is always the representation of the man, and the moon the representation of the woman. Here we had to go deeply into the explanation because it is the angel, the one that is doing this mixture. And above the angel you find the sun with seven rays, which implies a lot that we will try to explain in simple terms, but very deep, in order for us to comprehend. To begin, what is an angel? You know that the word angel comes from the Greek word angelos, angeloi, which means messenger. This name messenger is found in many places in different scriptures. For instance, in Sanskrit, the word for messenger or angel is avatar. So there are different types of messengers or avatars, different levels as well. And of course, when we find here seven rays in the sun, we are directly related this card or the seven rays of the sun with the law of the Epta Paraparshinak that many times we explain. This is the law that organizes creation. When we investigate Kabbalistically the angels, we find that they exist, according to Kabbalah, in a world of Yetzirah, which is the world of angels and formation. And they exist or are related with the third triangle of the Tree of Life, Hod, Netzach, and Yesod. And Yetzirah, the world of formation, and the angels, is a rule or directly related with the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension that in many lectures we stated is Eden. That lost paradise of Milton. In other lectures we explain that this planet Earth, the whole planet, is the outcome of three previous manifestations of life, but in other dimensions. This is what in Sanskrit we call Mahamambantaras, which is, the translation is Great Cosmic Days. So the previous cosmic day is called the cosmic day of the moon, related with the moon, where all the moons were planets, referring to all the moons, which now are related or rotating around the different planets in our solar system. And that cosmic day, we will say it in yesterday, in the cosmic yesterday, the great or the highest initiate, because in every cosmic day there are different monads that struggle, fight for their self-realization. Some of them achieve self-realization, others do not achieve. But among those that achieve self-realization, there is always one that reaches the highest, the summit, and become, of course, we will say, the king or the ruler of that particular cosmic day. So in the past cosmic day, the highest initiate is the Lord that we know with the name of Jehovah. Jehovah really is the highest initiate of that period. But before that cosmic day happened, it happened another cosmic day. And that is, of course, called the solar epoch, in which there were also highest initiates. And different monads that didn't achieve self-realization. But the highest of that epoch is the master Avramento. The master Avramento receives the title of Christ in this epoch. And he achieved self-realization in isn't the summit of that at that time. So the beings that were self-realized in the solar epoch are in this time, in this cosmic day, called archangels. And they are related with the fire. They are related with the astral body and with the body of desires. While the beings that we call in this day and age angels are related with the lunar epoch. And other beings related with the elements, with the forces or the chemical, physical forces of the planet. Before that solar epoch, of course, as we explained in many other lectures, we know were the Saturnian epoch, which is in relation with the mind. As you see, for instance, the involution of the forces of the Ein Sof Or are coming first, mind, astral, and vital or ethereal forces. And finally, this is the fourth, which is the physical, the very physical matter that we call Asya in Kabbalah. So that's why in the Tree of Life you find first here the first triangle related with that epoch that we call Saturnian epoch. That Saturnian epoch is in relation with the mind. And then the solar epoch related with the third triangle, which is the solar epoch, relation with the emotional forces or forces of desire. And then we find the third triangle related with the ethereal forces. And finally, here we find the very bottom, the planet Earth, Asya. That's why in Kabbalah we study the four aspects, the four worlds, Atziluth, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asya. It's always repeating in different aspects in order for us to understand about creation and about the creatures that in this day and age we call angels, archangels, principalities, powers of the air, etc. Because the book of Genesis explains very deep all of this. Unfortunately, it has been mutilated many times, and that's why we have to explain more about this. As you see, Yesod is an immediate Sephira above Malkut, which is a world of Asya, and which in Genesis, in the book of the Bible, is referred as Mazarim, or Egypt. So Egypt itself is a world of matter. And the promised land that we always found written is Yesod, which is immediately above Malkut. But Malkut is the outcome of Yesod. And always we refer at, or we talk about Yesod in many lectures. If you realize, we always emphasize in the sexual forces. Because Yesod really is the foundation and related directly with the Sephirah Da'at, which is knowledge. The mystery of Da'at is a sexual mystery, or the mystery of creation, the sexual forces. And here we are arriving at the letter Nun, which means fish in Aramaic. Because in Hebrew, fish is dog. D-A-G, dog. So that is referring to the sperm and the ovum and different aspects of nature. As you will recall if you read the Arcanum in the website, which is synthesized there, very well explained. So the ruler of the world of Yesod is directly related with the past cosmic day, which is the cosmic day of the moon, or the ancient earth moon, whose highest initiate was Jehovah. And that's why Jehovah is named in many parts in the Bible, and as well is named in other scriptures, but with other names. Because really Jehovah is the one that is in the pyramid, in the top of the pyramid of the angels and archangels. From the simple reason that in order for the forces of the tree of life to work in Malkut, they have to pass through Yesod, because Malkut is in the very bottom. So Yesod is a fourth dimension, ruled by the moon. And even Hod, which is the astral world, is ruled by the moon. In other words, all the energies that come from above come through Yesod. And the ruler of Yesod is Jehovah. But Jehovah is ruling not only the moon or the planet Earth. He rules all of the moons of the solar system. Because if we want to talk about directly to our own particular moon, the Logos, or we will say the angel related with that moon, is Gabriel. So that's why you find that Gabriel always appears announcing the birth of a great initiate in the world of Malkut. You find, for instance, Gabriel announced the birth of Jesus, and if you read the Quran, you see how Muhammad was taught by the angel Gabriel. Really, Gabriel commands many legions of angels of the moon, which are related with procreation. But no one, no angel performs anything in this planet, physically or in the ethereal world, without the permission of Jehovah, because he is in charge of the ethereal forces. Those ethereal forces, of course, are related with the forces of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit controls the third triangle, Bina. Of course, there are many angels related with the Yesod, which work with the Yesod, with ethereal forces. And related with the moon, in the mineral kingdom, the forces of Jehovah, the angels of Jehovah, work with the evolution of the monads in that kingdom, because they are related with the physical-chemical aspect of the planet, which is directed by the ethereal forces. And also the plant kingdom. So the plant kingdom, that's why you find in many books of the Master Samael on the Or, and many other books of other masters, that every single tree or herb is related with a particular angel or force, which is an intelligence that manages the forces of the ethereal world in order for evolution to happen in the physical world. So, of course, when you awake the power of clairvoyance, you can see these angels working in the atmosphere of the earth. But of course, above the angels are the archangels that also perform duties and works in nature. But everything goes through Jehovah because he is the ruler of the four dimensions. That's why the archangels, which are directly related with the body of desire, because the astral body, before becoming an astral body, we have body of desire, and that's related with animals. Because plants and minerals do not have body of desire, but animals have body of desire that we need to transform. That's why in many lectures we state that the astral body, which is the body that we have to create, is directly related with the forces of the ethereal world, but controlled by the archangels. The astral energy is placed in Hod, which is ruled by the moon, and directly related with Yesod. They go directly into the world of Yesod and finally appears in the earth. And this is how we have to comprehend and to understand the relationship of archangels and angels with our own particular psychosomatic nature. So if you follow me little by little, you will find how this is related. Archangels are related with Hod, and they manage the forces, the laws, the superior worlds. The superior laws, which are related with karma and dharma, are acting in the planet according to the karma of the planet. This is how it is adjusted. When, in the beginning, the evolution of this planet started in relation with the human kingdom, you find that the archangels became the rulers of races through the Lord Jehovah. Because you find that there are many religions in the world ruled by the moon, which means related to races. And those religions are ruled by Jehovah. Many esotericists think that Jehovah is only the ruler or the one that implanted in the earth the religion of Judaism. But in reality, Jehovah is related with all of the lunar religions. What we call lunar mean related to races. Because the forces of Yesod, when enter into the physical body, enter to the spleen. And the spleen transforms those forces into red cells, which circulate in the blood. The blood is, in this case, as you know, the vehicle of the spirit. The vehicle of those forces that come from nature. The forces of the Elohim, which are the same archangels or angels, enter through the nose when we breathe. That's what we call the Ruach Elohim, or that breath of life that is implanted into every creature according to his own level. So everyone in his own level breathes according to the forces of nature and implants that into the blood. Remember in other lecture that we explained that the blood received the oxygen in order to purify the venom blood. So that oxygen, of course, enters through the noses. And that's the Ruach Elohim entering there and entering to act in the blood. But through the liver or to the spleen, which is coming from the vital body, because the spleen is that organ directly related with the vital body, which is the yesod. Our vital body, which is the superior part of our physical body, receives the ethereal force through the spleen, transforming it into red cells. That's why we will say that the blood that circulates in the physical body, not only in the human kingdom, but in the animal kingdom, is the liquid that carries the soul, the Ruach Elohim, the force of God. But that is related, of course, with karma. Because there is a word in Greek that is called demiurgos. And we will say the word in English, demiurge, which means skillful worker. They have run interpretations in many groups. The demiurgos, or skillful worker, are of course all the angels and all the archangels, or these huge creation of this planet Earth. That's why when you investigate in many religions, you find in different pantheons angels, archangels, in relation with the forces of nature, because there are many. And of course in Kabbalah, we study them in relation with the world of Yetzirah and Bria, because the world of Bria, the world of creation, is in relation with archangels, and the world of Yetzirah is in relation with formation, or the angels. But all of them, in order to enter into work into this planet Earth, they do it through Yesod, and the governor of Yesod is Jehovah. In this way is how we understand how Jehovah made the Earth, or the physical chemical planet. Because it's written there that Jehovah made the earth, everything that is here. But of course, there are many skillful workers under his command, or the demiurge, demiurgos, in other words. The archangels manage the world of Hod, and the angels, the world of Yesod, or those energies related with that. And above we find Netzah, the mind, those principalities, or as Paul of Tarsus called, the powers of the air. So then you find all of these forces working in the earth. But in the wheel of samsara, in the wheel of evolution and devolution, which is completely mechanical. And this is how you have to understand. Because according to the wheel of samsara, which is the wheel of Malkut, which is Mazzaim, or the wheel of Ezekiel, all of the four elements that work in the physical plane have a limit, or the evolution has a summit that doesn't go beyond. Because when evolution reaches the summit, or the peak, it descends in the wheel of Ezekiel, which is a mechanical wheel. And this is why it is written symbolically in many scriptures in Gnosticism that the demiurgos, or the demiurge, is the creator of evil. But not evil in the sense of bad. It's just involution, or we'll say devolution of forces in the mechanicity of nature. Some organizations think that evolution will take us eventually to the self-realization of the being. But they ignore, of course, that evolution has a limit, and it's called the intellectual animal. Anima, or animal comes from the Latin anima, which means soul. And the soul, of course, is very complex, because we studied that in Kabbalah, and we know that this is a soul called Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. Neshama is the spiritual force of God. Ruach is the force of the wind, of the air. They call it thinking soul. And Nefesh is a very animal soul. These three aspects, of course, are related with the wheel of samsara. They evolve and devolve. And the limit of that is the intellectual anima, or intellectual soul. We are intellectual souls, because we have the intellect. So the demiurgos, the demiurge, only take us to this limit. Beyond that, is not possible. Mechanicity doesn't go and take us to the absolute, as many organizations think. And eventually we will reach the level of angel, archangel, and we will go into the Ein, illuminated just by doing nothing. Here is precisely the first mystery, or the first step of this arcanum, transmutation, to mutate, right? To take another form, we say another shape, psychologically or physiologically speaking. The creation of any creature in this planet Earth, in this nature, is done to noon, the sexual forces of the sperm and the ovum, what we say the sexual force that expresses in different levels, in the mineral kingdom, plant kingdom, animal kingdom, and human kingdom. So in a mechanical way, the archangels, angels, through Jehovah, give their laws in order for us to understand and comprehend and to do the transformation that we have to perform. When we achieve to follow the laws or the commandments written in many books, by the great masters that incarnated and that were prophets of Jehovah. That's why you find in the Bible that all the prophets are prophets of Jehovah. In reality, all the prophets in different levels are prophets of Jehovah, because they accomplish the law of Yesod in Malkut through Jehovah. Obviously, we know very well that we are talking here about this particular Elohim, which is Jehovah. But in other lectures, we explained that each one of us has his own particular individual Jehovah, because he represents our own particular individual Jehovah. Like the Master Averamento, which is Jesus of Nazareth, that is called Christ. He represents the solar force of the sun, the cosmic Christ. But we have to understand that each one of us has his own and must create his own particular individual Jesus Christ. As the Buddha exists and existed, as a great master also, Buddha Gautama Sakyamuni. That is, of course, the one that came and taught us the wisdom related with the control of the mind. But each one of us has his own individual particular Buddha. Because everything that is outside is inside the forces that are in the cosmos. That's why the human being is called the microcosmos of the macrocosmos. So all the eons or masters of the day, because this is how it is called also in Gnosticism, the eons. Masters of the day that self-realize themselves become channels of energy, of forces of the cosmos, and come in the earth and express their wisdom. But that force, that energy that they channel, is also inside of everybody. And this is how we have to understand. But those eons or angels or archangels, principalities that express those forces, have those forces in activity. We have them in potentiality. And only if we work with them and we put it in activity is how we become self-realized, become like them. But nature mechanically won't do that for us. Even if we believe in all of the religions of the world, even if we memorize all the books written in the world, even if we put our heart with all 100% in one belief, it won't achieve that. This is a work of transmutation. That's what the angel is showing that there. The angel is telling us symbolically what we do, the angels or the archangels do in nature, in order to give life in the wheel of samsara, in the wheel of evolution. You have to do it individually, because all of the forces, energies that we place in nature, because we are eons, is what the angel says. An eon placing nature, all of the forces, channeled forces. How many angels, how many archangels are millions? Because they're in charge of this huge nature. And each one of them purges in the world of Malkut their essence through Jehovah. That's why we always insist and arrive at the conclusion. If it says everything goes through Jehovah, and Jehovah rules ether, the ethereal world, which is ruled by Yesod, and Yesod is in relation with sex. And the synthesis in our sexual organs is the sperm and the ovum. The ovum and the sperm is the synthesis of everything that comes from above. And this is what we have. This is what is called Nun. But of course, when we reach at this level, this Nun is the Leviathan, or the Leviathan, right? The Leviathan, which carries all of the forces of nature there. Because that is. But above, you know, as we were explaining, the archangels also rule the heat, the solar force in the blood of animals. And that heat or solar force in the blood of animals works through their blood. And this is how desire works in animals. When we reach this level in which we are right now, which is the intellectual level, but still animals, because our body has the shape of a human being, but we are still animals. Because we have the inheritance of the animal kingdom in us. And that's what we call Behemoth. What the Bible calls Behemoth is the force of the animal, the lure of the animal. So that force circulates in the blood. It's come from the liver. That's why in Gnosticism, in psychology, we taught three types of psyches. The infra-consciousness, the subconsciousness, and unconsciousness. But here, related with this behemoth or bestial force that everybody has in their blood, is especially related with the infra-consciousness. Our animal past that we have inherited in our blood. In the beginning, of course, in the time there of Lemuria and Atlantis, the bodies that were coming through evolution and finally became humans were inheriting, of course, that desire force. That's why you find that, according to evolution, in Lemuria, there were the forces of desire were implanted in the human nature by the archangels, by the lords of fire, with one purpose: for the evolution to continue and for the human being to control Behemoth, to control the heat, the animal force. Because if you don't control that animal force in you, you are not a Malakim. And behold here the word Malakim. Malakim is related with the world of Tifereth, which is completely above the inferior triangle. Here you find the Malakim. And sometimes esotericists call the angels Malakim, because really a real angel is a Malakim which controls the four animals which Ezekiel shows, which are the four wings, the four creatures in the wheel. The Malakim, the Melech, we will say, is the one that controls it. That's why in Tifereth is placed the Star of David. They're showing us that if you want to become a Melech, use the Star of David, which is a completely sexual symbol, in order to control nature. And then you control, as the Bible says, the behemoth of the earth. But that is in us. People think that it is related with the poor beasts that are there. They still are beasts, and eventually they will become intellectual. But that is inside of us, because the forces of the archangels work, as we stated in the beginning of this lecture, in races. In the beginning of the evolution of this humanity, every archangel takes possession of different groups in order to guide them internally with their forces. And there what appears the law. The law that comes through that, through their blood. And of course, the archangels develop internally certain elements that humanity needs in order to acquire individuality. Because that's the objective of the civilization, to become individual. Meaning, to control all the forces of the tree of life as a person, as an individual. Before that, you have to show that you are capable of living in a group. And that's why in the world were instituted many religions of the moon, in which, at the time, of course, the past times, they were prohibited to marry or to cross the blood with other tribes, with other religions. As symbolically is explained in the Bible, the Lord Jehovah explained to the Judaism, "You shall not have other gods before me." But those forces act through the blood. Meaning, if you mix your blood with other races, and then you are following other forces of other archangels, you are, of course, following other gods. But you can, of course, go out of your blood according to the control of the forces that you are showing. As many great initiates show them. And that is precisely the work of transmutation. To transmute, to achieve different levels of mutation. So the forces of the archangels work in group, and that's why you find that not only in Judaism, but among the forces of the Scottish people of other races, they are very jealous with their blood. Because through the blood, they inherit certain elements that are related with the evolution of their own races. But that's something mechanical that eventually we have to overcome. by going out of that and to command that. And that's precisely and also related with the process of races. When one race is degenerated, and then the archangels act through Yesod, through Jehovah, in order to form a certain elite or group that will be the seed for the future root race. And that will happen precisely in Atlantis. When the Atlantis was degenerated, then the group of archangels at that epoch made through Jehovah a selected group that were the Shemites. The Shemites, and they were commanded not to cross their blood or to cross sexually, because we will say that the final outcome of the blood is the semen. We call semen whether in woman or in man. This is in Gnosticism. Because in the outside world, they call semen only in the sexual organs of the man. But for us, semen is whether in the woman or in the man. The ovum or the sperm. That's nun. And of course, that's why we're prohibited to cross their sexually, their blood, with other races, because they were degenerated. After the flood happens and they emigrated, and they were starting crossing themselves in order to form the different groups that we call now Aryan race. So all of these Aryan race come originally from the Shemites. But some Shemites didn't cross themselves and remain in the same law of the past, which are actually the ones that we know that are called the Jews, that they don't cross, still remaining in the past, which are with developing of cunning and reasoning, is the faculty of this Aryan race. Reason, which is above cunning. Cunning was the faculty developed in the epoch of Atlantis, according to the evolution of the races. The point here, of course, is to understand, to comprehend that all the time, always, the archangels, through the Lord Jehovah, made a selection of groups in order to form another root race. Now, in this day and age, great nature is doing that selection. And of course, it's doing it through Jehovah, through Yesod, the archangels and all the groups of angels, forces of nature that are preparing a new seed for the future root race, which is approaching after the great cataclysm that will destroy this present Aryan race. But the seed, according to the instruction that we receive, is going to be a mixture of the nun, or the forces, or the sex of the Aryan people, with extraterrestrials, or we will say with humans of other planets, because the seed, the nun, in the present day and age of this root race, Aryan race, is completely polluted, degenerated. And if we select a group like that, the future root race will be really not good. Because if you observe how the sperm and the ovum is degenerated, really, is very alarming. Right? Children, that is, there are newborns, are receiving implants of liver, of kidneys and hearts, whatever. Because really, the physical body is not good. So to select good bodies now in this Aryan race is very difficult. Even though the great latch, the White Lodge, is doing a selection of people by delivering this knowledge in order to form the future root race. And that's precisely the world of temperance, in which you have to, if you want to be selected, you have to transmute, you have to mutate. And that mutation comes from the nun, from the sexual force. Nobody will mutate just because he's believing in something, or because has a lot of knowledge, theories in their heads, and I will be a mutant. Because in this day and age, there are many theories. And even Hollywood is making movies about mutants, right, that appear there and will appear. Yeah, the mutants will appear, but it is not a mechanicity, automatism of nature that the mutants will appear there and everywhere. No. Maybe the mutants that will appear are monsters, degenerating, devolving forces. But that kind of mutation is the degeneration. The type of mutation that we are talking here is something superior, in which we have to create and to use the two jars, man and woman, in order to create, according to the law of the Epta Parabashinok, the seven bodies. And that's why in the very bottom of this angel, you find Nahash, the serpent, standing. Because that mutation comes from the forces of the Divine Mother. And that serpent is standing between three flowers. Behold here the holy Triamatsikamno, the law of three, which in Christianity is called Trinity, the Holy Trinity. But that Holy Trinity, three forces, the three primary forces, are related with Nun, with the sexual force. Because if you see again the Tree of Life, you find that in Yesod receives all of the forces of the upper Sephiroth. And of course, the first triangle of the Tree of Life is ruled by Keter, the Father. The second triangle is ruled by the Son, Chochmah. And the third, by Binah, the Holy Spirit. So this is what we call the Holy Spirit, Jehovah, Christ, the Son, and the Father, which is that principality of forces of the Ruach Elohim that rules above, or the Tree of Life. All together are synthesized in the physical body, in the three nervous systems that we have. The cerebral and spinal nervous system, the grand sympathetic nervous system, and the parasympathetic or vagus nervous system. And all those forces channel there in these energies in the nervous system and finally reach the sex, the forces. For these nervous systems is how the angels, the archangels of other dimensions, send the energy into the physical body, which is called also Malkut. Because remember that if we were talking about Malkut, the physical earth, also, we have our own particular Malkut, which is the physical body. Our own particular Egypt, Mazdarim, which is precisely our physical body. This is called a philosophical earth. And all of that synthesized in three beautiful flowers below. But these flowers become flowers if the serpent is standing. Because if we don't transmute the sexual energy, if we don't transform that Nun inside of us, then there is no flowers. The three primary forces of the universe, Keter, Chochmah, Binah, doesn't work inside of us if we spill, like behemoth, like the beast of the earth, the sexual energy. Right? That's why it's written in the website that Jehovah, because represent the word of Yesod, told to the original couple, which is a symbol of those that enter into the human kingdom, you shall not eat from the fruit of the tree of good and evil as behemoth, as the beasts of the earth. Because if you observe the beasts of the earth, they ejaculate the seed. That's normal in the animal kingdom. So when we enter into this intellectual level, we still are animals. We have the shape of human being, but in our blood is behemoth, the inheritance. And in that blood is not only in the inheritance of our infra kingdom of nature, because we come from there, Because everything is inherited in the blood. There are mineral level, and plant level, and animal level. And in the human kingdom, we created, through the archangels, the different organizations, the different groups of religions that we follow, castes, that we are attached to. But that's, of course, because in the intellectual level, we are organized as intellectual animals with those castes. And this is how the law of evolution organizes. But we know that we have to go out of the animal kingdom, out of our race, out of our traditions. And that's precisely the great fight that we have to have. If you recall, for instance, the Bhagavad Gita, the Mahabharata, when Arjuna is with Krishna, and Arjuna has to fight against his own family. He says, how come I had to fight and to kill my uncle, my nephews, my aunts? Are you telling me that to me, Krishna, that I had to do that? And he said, yeah. And here you read the Bhagavad Gita, it says, beautiful how it's explained. But of course, it's not a physical killing. Because that's the problem of us. When we ignore about the wisdom, the knowledge of esotericism, we translate everything physical. And we think that we have to go and to kill the unfaithful ones. And all religions have that. Those unfaithful elements are within. They are circulating in the blood like beasts, behemoths. You remember Goliath, the one that David killed? People think, oh yeah, that's the story of the past, beautiful. David did that. No, you have to do that too. If you want to be a Melech, a Malakim, you have to kill your own behemoth, Goliath. You have to cut his head. In mythology, in Gnosticism, also you find these creatures. In Greek mythology, like, for instance, Perseus, that cut the head of Medusa. That Medusa is precisely the same thing. That beast, behemoth, that we have within, that ask to be satisfied through desire. And that's why Jesus Christ stated, the one that loves his mother, his brother, his father, is not worthy to follow me. Is not worthy of me. You say, how? I had to kill my mother, my father, to hate everybody? No. He's referring to the blood. Because you carry that inside of you. This is how we are inheriting that. We are attached to many things through our blood. And that's, if you investigate all of the races of the earth, you see that really is very strong. And it's the same thing that Krishna talked to, teaching to Arjuna. He had to kill his relatives. It's a great Mahabharata, a great war. You have to do the same thing, said Jesus Christ. If you love more your mother, your father, and your uncle, though more than me, you are not worthy of me. Doesn't mean that physically you have to hate your family. No, it is something individual. You can be kind with your relatives. You can be kind with your friends, with your root race, or with your races, whatever. You be kind, because it doesn't mean that you have, remember, you have to love thy neighbor as thyself. But that's precisely the work. Being in the multitude, you have to separate from them. And that's a psychological work that begins with sex. Because that's at the very root. And when you are transmuting, you are mutating. And then you recognize and you discover that in your blood is the inheritance of your animal past, of your family, what we'll call the subconsciousness. Because if you discover in your intellectual level, it's written that we return 108 times as a human intellectual. And through those times, We, of course, return in different families. But there are certain souls that are so attached to this blood, to this family, that they return in the same family 108 times. Others go in different races. We state, for instance, in the Brahmanism, there are certain Brahmins that are so attached to their blood that they return 108 times in that blood. In Judaism, you find also the Jews are all attached to their blood and they return 108 times in that blood. And other souls that they go and return in different races because they mixed their seed with other bloods. And they attain different forces. Whether you are returning 108 times in the same blood or in different bloods, you have to renounce that. Because if you don't renounce that, you are not worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven has nothing to do with Malkut. Remember Israel going out of Egypt and abandoning everything, taking only the gold, the good things, which are the values of the consciousness, into the promised land, which is Yesod. This is something psychological. But how you are going to, some people think that they are going to enter into the promised land, Yesod, just by believing or just by accepting something. We had to overcome the law of Malkut, which is related with karma, evolution and devolution. That's what we have to do, to overcome the law. And the only one that can help us is the one that is above this mechanicity, which is precisely Christ, which is not a person, but an energy. We always repeat that. Christ is not a person, it's an energy that we have to manage, it's a solar force. Because the solar force is that what creates here. It's what you see the angel. Manage the solar force. But unfortunately, that solar force in our blood, because it circulates in our blood, called the venom blood, has inherited the animal forces, the forces of our race. Because you said, I have to fight against my father. Yeah, the genes of your father are in your sex, in your blood. Your father fornicated, your grandfather fornicated, and he was an adulterer, you have those genes. And you have to fight against that in order to go out of Egypt, in order to enter into the promised land. And that is in the blood, circulating there with a lot of force. You feel that. And that's precisely to kill Goliath. But people, instead of killing Goliath, they commit adultery and then bring more filthiness into their blood. In the end, of course, they had to fight with a lot. Remember Samson and Delilah. So do you follow me? Do you understand that mutation that we had to do? It's a fight. And begins with sexual transmutation. Begins with being rebel to your animal inheritance, which is in your blood. Your animal inheritance tells you, fornicate, spill, because it's what the beasts do in the animal kingdom. You renounce that, and you continue renouncing the inheritance of your family within you. And that's difficult. That's why the great battle is difficult. Because in this physical world, every one of us is related with your family, with the family. And the family is always behind you in everything that you do. And by doing that, is how you are creating internal bodies. You are creating a human being. A human being made into the image of the Elohim. Because here the Elohim are the angels, the archangels. Image of the Elohim means individual. Because when you are in the world of Malkut, you are related to families. There is one wheel. wills of the family of cats, will of the family of horses, will of the family of lizards, and every animal, single animal, has his own force, his own blood, in which an archangel, angel controls that. That's why we say that certain archangels are controlling certain races. But this is in a mechanical way. It is written, for instance, that the ruler of the race of the Jews are the archangel Michael that rules them. But through the blood, and that is the inheritance of our family, of our ancestors, traditions. That's why when Jesus of Nazareth came and teaching that to Judaism, it was very strong because they were so attached to their blood, and they tell you have to renounce that. And here comes Judas. Judas Iscariot represents all of that. Judah, the lion of Ariel. You see, in Hebrew, Ariel is lion. Ariel. So that lion is associated with Judah. Judah is the constellation of Leo, the sun. The forces of the archangels that work through Michael, because the ruler of the sun, or the logos of the sun, is Michael. Find the seven archangels ruling the Heptaparapashinok in the solar system. Gabriel is the moon. Uriel is Venus. Raphael is Mercury. The sun is Michael. Mars is Samael, the god of war. Six is Zahariel, Jupiter. And Orifiel is Saturn. Those are the seven archangels that rotate and rules the different races. This race is ruled by Samael. That's why it is written in the beginning that Samael was involved in the creation of Adam and Eve and all of that, which is written in Kabbalah, which is very esoteric. People misunderstand that, and they qualify Samael as a demon. They don't know that he's the ruler, and he still is the ruler in that. That's why this knowledge is his knowledge. Because he's living the Aryan race. If we take advantage of his doctrine, then we will be in the sixth root race. But it still is. This is the doctrine of Samael. So you find there that you have to fight against those forces, mechanical forces. Because all archangels work in the mechanicity of nature in the four kingdoms. They control that. But if you want to become as them, to the image of the Elohim, then you have to mutate. That means that you won't be related to any family. Because if your will is ruled by a group, if a group tells you, don't do this, do that, you are not an individual, you are following a group. And the group of religions that are, there are groups that tell, do this, do that, and they follow in groups, like in the animal kingdom. In this case, religious kingdom. Which is good at a certain level. But if you want to become a human being, you have to become an individual. You have to go out, as Jesus says, if you are not capable of hating, which in this world is very hard, which is not hate, to abhor, we will say, inside of your blood, your inheritance, your father, your mother, all those genes that you have, your animal, your behemoth, how are you going to control the Leviathan? The Leviathan is a sexual force that receives that energy of the behemoth. You see? All that energy of the animal kingdom, subconsciousness, infraconsciousness, unconsciousness, goes through the blood and goes into the seed. And that's why it's very strong. But then you mutate, you transform that, and you create the astral body. The astral body is our own particular individual Jesus Christ. The one that creates that astral body becomes completely independent. Or begins, we will say it, his independence. from the animal kingdom. But it is necessary to create a body that will be also collective, will be individual. You will start thinking individually. And for that you have to create a solar mind. We call the Christ mind. And that's the mental solar body. And after that, then you reach the world of Netzach, and then you enter into the world of Tiferet, the world of the Malakim, where you start building your own individual particular will. And then you become a Malakim. You control the inferior kingdoms. Because it's written that Adam was a king that controlled the kingdoms of nature. That's the man into the image of the Elohim. An angel. Another angel. In this level in which we are right now. So that's something that you have to grasp and to understand. Because it's the great work that we have to comprehend. In addition to that, we have a great help that was given unto this humanity by the Master Avraham Enzo. He is, of course, the highest initiate of the solar epoch. He is beyond Michael because he entered into the absolute, the Ein, and became a Paramartha Satya. And descended from there in order to help this humanity to guide not only men, but gods, to God Elohim into the Ein. And that is what the Master Avraham Enzo is, what we call Jesus of Nazareth, that came into this planet in order to guide. But in order to do that, he, of course, became one with this planet. That's a great sacrifice that he performed 2,000 years ago. His astral force, which astral body, that doesn't belong to the universe, that belongs to the Ein, became one with the planet. In order to transform the body of desire that was very strong, attached to families, to this, to that, to the animal kingdom, because of the karma of this planet. And that's precisely the mystery of the transubstantiation. It's written that 2,000 years ago, Jesus performed the Last Supper. And in that Last Supper, he poured his blood into a cup. Certain drops. No one said that he poured one glass. No, just drops of his blood. And the apostles also pour their blood. But here we are talking about the blood. Obviously, the blood of Jesus of Nazareth and all of the apostles at that time didn't have any behemoth inheritance. Meaning animal force of desire. That blood is solar force that can guide you because it has the elements that we need. Of course, we know that certain religion says don't eat blood of animals, of course. Don't eat animal the blood because in the blood is the soul, the force of the animal as we are studying here. And that's why in ancient times we're prohibited to drink the blood of animals. If you cannot control that force, the force of the animal will control you. But we are talking here a royal blood that is talking all over the place in the internet and radios and television with that famous the Da Vinci Code. And when they say that the royal blood of Jesus, well, the royal blood of Jesus is the solar light. Because he really is the solar logos. And in his blood was circulating that solar force that make kings, makes malakim. And that's precisely the mistake of certain interpreters. They think that they are talking about the kings of Europe.
Many of the kings of Europe were degenerate fornicators, like Louis the 16th. That was a famous fornicator. He had many women. Are those the kings that are the inheritors of the blood of Jesus? Of course not. The inheritors of the blood of Jesus is precisely that of those malakim that we are talking here, the kings of nature, of Tifereth. Those are the malakim that Jesus wants to create, and when his inheritance, the blood, is coming. Because since that time, 2,000 years ago, with the astral energy of the Lord were mixed when they pierce his body, because when they pierced his body and they were nailing him into the cross, the blood was pouring out of his body. So the solar energy was pouring out in the atmosphere. And when he died, he descended in the center of the earth and mixed his energy, his solar force, with the planet in order to help. But it's not by believing. 14. It's not by believing in him as we are going to transform ourselves. It's by transmuting the sexual force. Because all of that blood goes into all the kingdoms, especially in the human kingdom, and becomes what we call Nun. And that's why Nun is called the inheritance, the heir of the throne of God. But we have to understand, many, many times we refer to the throne of God is a spinal column. So there we have the spinal column, the Vav, which is the throne of God, in which the Nun has to release all the effluvia, the solar light, and to rise as the Nahash, the serpent that healed the Israelites in the wilderness. Kundalini. And that makes Malachim. And that's precisely the help. But in order to do that, because we have in our blood, in all our system, too much garbage, theories, beliefs. So we need a guidance. Who is the best guidance? Is the light. The Ein Sof Or is the one that can guide us. The solar light can guide us from the bottom to the top. But that solar light needs to enter into us and to guide us from the very bottom. And that's why the transubstantiation was stated 2,000 years ago. The transubstantiation was stated not to just to believe or to drink the blood and we are saved. No. That blood, of course, is because when Jesus performed that rite with his disciples, his 12 apostles at that time, the forces of the air, the astral forces of the earth that are controlled by the archangels, were mixed with it because he is on the top of the pyramid of the solar force. So therefore, since that time, any ritual within which the wine and the bread is concerned is related with that Last Supper, in which the solar logos or the Ein Sof Or descends, you know, from the seventh dimension directly into that ritual which is being performed. And then the bread and the wine is charged with the blood of Christ. That blood is fire. And that bread is the bread, the same substance, what we call Nun, the matter. So when we eat that bread and we drink that wine, Ein Sof Or, the Christ, the Master of Ramento, enters there and starts working, guiding you inside. But that rite of transubstantiation must be performed by a priest and a priestess. And this is something that we have to understand. Because here is where Mary Magdalene enters into action. And what many religions don't like, they want a castrated Jesus. We, the Gnostics, we do not castrate Jesus of Nazareth. we saw him like a man, perfect, with his wife, Mary Magdalene, performing the rite of the transubstantiation in order to have in the wine and in the bread the substances that we need in order to transform, to perform that mutation. That's why you find that the solar light works to the transubstantiation. It's a great work, a great miracle. But I repeat, had to be a priest and a priestess. In Sanskrit, priest comes from the word mag, magician. It's a word that scandal and scares many people, because that word is used in this day and age and is vulgarized. Anybody thinks that to be a magician is to be an illusionist, to make tricks. A real magician is the one that controls, like Moses, the forces of nature. And of course, that's the work of the transubstantiation, a work of magic, of priesthood. But that priest has to be in chastity, practicing sexual magic. Had to be a mutant, not a fornicator. An abuser of sex can transform that wine, can perform the rite, yes, but there will be nothing there. Because in order for the Lord to descend, he uses the priest and the priestess as a channel. And that priest and that priestess has to have the kundalini in their spinal column. If that kundalini is not awakened, how is it going to channel that force? His solar light. And if the priest or the priestess is fornicating, is in darkness, how is that energy going to descend? And if there is only a priest and not a priestess, because many in many groups they celebrate the Eucharist, but only a priest, and instead of women, they are children. That really doesn't work. Doesn't work at all. And that's why Christianity failed. Or the so-called Christianity. Because still, that religion that we call Christianity should appear in the future as real as we understand it. Because there we have millions and millions of Christians, but they don't know anything about this. The ancient Christians in the beginning called Master Jesus, Master, the Christ, the Son, and what point in the Son? Because they understood about the solar light, about the transubstantiation, about the transmutation. And that's precisely the mystery of that. And that's why you find the angel there doing it. Because are the forces, superior forces, that are going to work through you. The Elohim work through you if you know how to perform the rite. If you don't know how to perform the rite, the Elohim doesn't come. You see? I repeat, it's an angel, the one that is doing the mixture. Not the ego. That's why when you go into alchemy, you have to put your mind in God. In your own particular God, in order for your God to be in contact with the Elohim. And they say, here's another one, another monad, that wants to become like us. Let us help him. His vehicle, physical vehicle, is Mary and knows about alchemy. Let us help him and to transmute the forces in order to make another Elohim like us. But have to be in chastity. And already that monad taught to his soul, which is in the physical plane, that he has to renounce Behemoth, that has to kill Goliath, that has to control the Leviathan, which is a sexual force. He has to control his Ofa, filthy mind, the birds that fly there in heaven. Because we have, of course, the birds there that are always, how do you call it, chirping? Chirping and chirping there in your mind. You have to control that. All those thoughts. You have to control your heaven, your head, your heart, which is the blood, and your sex, which is Leviathan. By doing that is how you enter into the kingdom of the Elohim, and you make of yourself, thanks to God and the Elohim, an angel. And that's why it is, see there, the two jars. One jar is a woman and the other jar is a man, because we are divided into sexes. We have to handle the two forces. A single person cannot realize, cannot perform that. Single person can reach only a certain level according to the 9 initiations of minor mysteries. But after that, he needs the opposite sex, because this is what the angel is showing us here. In order for us to acquire the elixir of longevity, of long life. You know what is that? Elixir of longevity or long life is not given to demons. Imagine a Goliath with an elixir of long life. He will be still killing and doing these terrible things to humanity. Imagine a Nero or Caligula with an elixir of long life. Thank goodness, the elixir of life is given unto those that destroy Behemoth and they control the Leviathan. Only those receive the elixir of long life, which is eternal life that Jesus promised. He received the elixir of long life after he resurrected. But people want here to resurrect with their ego alive, with that beast very alive. No. In the kingdom of Malkut, this is the mechanicity of nature. Evolution and evolution, evolution and evolution. This is it. Beyond that, no. You want immortality? Go beyond that. Control that. And enter into the world, the promised land, Yesod, which is where you find the immortal humanity. In the fourth dimension, you find the immortal humanity. The promised land, the land of Avalon. That many people talk about. The King Arthur, the Queen Guinevere, where are they? In the fourth dimension. This is a symbol of the fourth dimension, of the forces of the being. You want to visit them, you want to know really the fourth dimension exists? Well, there is a second aspect of this arcanum, which is called transformation. By taking advantage of the astral forces, is how you can enter into the astral world or into the fourth dimension, where you find those lands that are written in all the books. It is written that when, even with the body that we have here, if we achieve to enter into that land, you can change your physical appearance. Shape-shifting is called. The only shape-shifting that people know is the one that they see in Hollywood, with that famous program that appear in many movies, people that shape-shift their bodies. That is possible. But if we enter into the fourth dimension, if you enter into the fourth dimension, you can change your shape. It will transform yourself into an eagle or into a jaguar. Comes into my mind that when the Catholic priests came into America to evangelize the Aztecs and to teach them the doctrine of Jesus Christ, it happens that the Aztecs and the Mayans knew about already, but not in theory, but in practice. But the priests didn't know that. They qualify the religion of the Aztecs and Mayans as idolatry, because they were killing humans. Of course, that's bestiality. They were killing humans in the name of God or their gods. That was wrong. That was the decay of that religion. But if we want to accuse the Aztecs and Mayans sacrificing humans, well, we can also accuse the Catholic Church doing that in the Middle Ages. They were killing, and not with a knife, but with fire. Tying people to the pole and burning them alive. That was more painful than to kill with a knife. Because one struck in the heart and is dead. But people there being burned in the Middle Ages by the holy, between quotations, Inquisition, that, what is that? Right? That's also sacrifice, that's bestiality. That's Behemoth taking control of religion. But that's not precisely the doctrine of the Mayans and Aztecs. If you investigate in the very deep very depth, I mean, of that doctrine, you find really the solar religion that was generated at the time of Christopher Columbus. So then, those priests knew how to travel in the air. Things that now we are learning and we're studying here. We are studying that in order for us to transfer or to fly with a physical body, we have to enter into the fourth dimension. Well, the Aztecs and Mayans did that very often. It was something simple for them because they knew how to do it. Take advantage. Doctrine, techniques that the Master Samael Onveor is teaching in his books for everybody that wants to achieve that. In order to experience, at least, to have faith. It doesn't mean that if you are going to enter into the fourth dimension, you are done, you are self-realized. No. There are many witches, many sorcerers that enter and transform themselves into evil omen birds. And they do that and do evil there in the fourth dimension, the lower levels. We know that. Witches exist, sorcerers exist, and they transform themselves into the fourth dimension. But we don't want that. We want a higher force. Because when Jesus of Nazareth was physically walking on the path, I mean, on the Sea of Galilee, his body was in the fourth dimension. Anybody can walk on the waters, physically speaking, with his physical body, by putting his body in the fourth dimension. But for that, of course, we have to work a lot. Remember that your own particular Judas Iscariot, which ruled the sexual force, the sexual organs, receive all the strength of Behemoth. That's why we stated in another lecture, when Judas Iscariot, the master, the great being that came 2,000 years ago, and that is written there in the Gospel of Judas, that now is everywhere in the internet, when the Master Jesus told him that he was going to betray him, that was the role that he has to perform, he said, no, I want the role of Peter, which is in the pineal gland, related with the pineal gland, the faith, the door of heaven. I want to perform that. No, he said, you are the one that is prepared for that role of the sexual force of Judah, which is in the sexual energy. Yes, he said, but that role is mingled, not only with your energy, but with inheritance. Animal inheritance, inheritance of the races and all of that, which is with the ego. And that means to betray you. Yes, you have to betray me. Somebody has to do it. So Judas did it. And Jesus taught him how to do it. Because somebody has to represent that transformation, that mutation that we have to do, and the killing that we have to do. Because Judas hung himself. We have to hang himself as well. But not physically. Psychologically. Because Judas represents precisely the inheritance. That is strength, tradition, forces of the animal kingdom that we have in the blood. To fight against that, to die in that, is to give our life for our interior individual Jesus Christ. In order for the human being to appear within us. And that's why you see how Judas appears in the Last Supper. Judas comes from the Last Supper and goes and betrays the Lord. Why? Because the Lord was doing the whole work there. Right? Which is precisely the transubstantiation, in order to help, in order for the rite to be repeated. That's why he said in that, do this in remembrance of me. Repeat this rite as I am teaching you. Because through the wine and the bread of the Eucharist, you will receive my strength, my help, and I will help each one of you in the level in which you are. Because outside in the physical world, nobody can help you, but only the Christ, because he knows in which level you are. And he enters and helps you. So do this in remembrance of me, because this cup, this wine, this is my blood that is poured for you. And this bread is my substance that is given to you to save you. If you perform, of course, but you have to perform. But Judas went out there and betrayed him. And he's always do, because we receive that, we do, but unfortunately, our behemoth, our Goliath inside of us, our inheritance, our traditions, and all of that within, betray our own particular individual work. So here is the traitor of Christ. If we examine this plainly, the traitor of Christ was not Judas Iscariot. The traitor of Christ is inside of each one of us. That is the Antichrist. It's within. It's not outside. There are many Antichrists as human beings on the earth. Those who fornicate, those who commit adultery, those who do not follow their own God are Antichrists. Only those that are against Judas, their own particular Judas, not the master Judas that came 2,000 years ago and that taught with his life what we had to do. He's a great master. After Jesus is Judas. He's written there in the gospel. He's the only one that could see him face to face. He says, who of you, it says in the gospel of Judas, is capable of seeing me face to face? And all the apostles says, I do, but none of them could. And the only one that could was Judas, and came face to face to Jesus and looked at his eyes. Why? Because Judas nourished the Lord with the transmutation of the sexual force. That's why. And the energy goes there and can see the Lord eye to eye. But the Lord turned his eye out of Judas. He says he couldn't see him in the eye. Why? Because we are afraid of Judas? No. He's saying this. I'm seeing Judas that you can see face to face, but I turn my eyes from you because I see inside of you your behemoth, your lust, and all of that that comes from your sex. You are transmuting your sexuality, yes, but also I see that in your blood is all of that lust, fornication, and adultery from your ancestors. And I am against that. That's why I'm turning my eye out of you. And that's the meaning of it. And at the end, Judas understood. He said, yes, that's my inheritance. And I had to kill that. I had to annihilate that. And because he's inside of me, well, I had to kill myself. Of course, he did it physically in order to touch us, or teach us, I mean, psychologically. And what you have to do, your Judas, the traitor, is inside of you, inside of me, inside of everybody. So don't look for the traitor outside. It's inside. Even if you love with all of your heart, because Judas loved with all of his heart Jesus of Nazareth. He loved him. But at the end, he did it. And it's the same thing that we do. We enter into the path, and we love the path. We love our own God. We want to follow the path, but we betray the Lord. Because our blood circulates and has the heat of the animal, the lure of the animal. And in the moment of the cross, when we ejaculate the seed, so we are traitors. So all the Christians in the world are traitors. All the Jews of the world are traitors. All Muslims are traitors. All Buddhists are traitors. Only those that have no ego are not traitors. And those died and resurrect. Do you have questions?
So, the archangels that you said control all of us, are they animals also?
No.
Or are they superior beings? They
are superior beings that belong to the world of Bria. And their essence help the souls of animals, the souls of the plants, and their evolution to the level in which we are. But that evolution is mechanical. So In other words, the Elohim work in this way in the world of Malkut, which is the world of the Demiurgos, the Demiurged. But in order for us to go out of that, we have to take advantage of the same force which act above Malkut. So we are talking here about the effluvia, the forces of the archangels and angels. It's not that the angels and archangels are within the animals or within the plants, no. It's like a conductor of an orchestra. He's conducting and the music is coming out of the violin, of the trumpet, and all the instruments of music of the great symphony. That music that comes out is that sound, is that force that goes into the ears of people. In the same way, nature has many music players, archangels, angels, and that music goes into your ears, into your blood, into your nervous system, and not only in the human kingdom, but animal kingdom, plant kingdom, mineral kingdom, in order to for the evolution to go up. Through our genes. The genes, especially in our genes, we have the inheritance of our parents. The genes are precisely the vehicles. In the genes, you see, for instance, the physical cell has 48 chromosomes, the nucleus. Each chromosome has about 100 or more genes. And within the genes, you find the inheritance, the animal inheritance that we have in the astral plane, which is desire, kamarupa. And there is how the body is built in the womb of our mother, according to those inheritances that we have from Hod, which is the ego, the animal ego. And that goes, of course, in the blood. And in order for that ego to reincarnate, or we will say to reincorporate in that physical body, it needs the same vibration. And those vibrations are in the genes of the mother and the father, which are, according to the law of music, with the same polarity. That's why you find in the internet that symbol of alchemy, in which beneath the earth is Apollo with the lyre, showing that with the note, the musical note, is how we return it, but we have to control that and to create the seven bodies. Mutate means to transform one lower level into a higher level, and that's a work of will. And with the help of God, anybody can do it. Yes?
If the Master of Elemento was the highest initiate in the solar cosmic day, and Jehovah with the lunar, does this mean that the Master Jehovah was the chief of the White Lodge during the lunar period and not the Master of Elemento?
Yes. In the time, the question is, was the Lord Jehovah the chief of the White Lodge in the lunar epoch? Yes, he was. And in the solar epoch, of course, the Master of Elemento was the highest.
Why is the name of the car Temperance?
Because you have to be temperate. Why is the name of the car Temperance? Because you have to be temperate. You have to manage, you know. Temperance is also related with those people that when you drink alcohol, if you stop drinking alcohol, you become temperate. And that's in relation, of course, with the assimilation of liquids, of the inebriating things that inebriate the soul. To be temperate is to eliminate all of those vibrations, energies that inebriate the soul and that make it hypnotized, related with the animal kingdom. And of course, that temperance comes from the control of the liquid. And that liquid in our body is the blood. And the sexual matter, yes?
Did you say the astral body is our own individual Jesus Christ?
Yes. When we transmute Nun, the fish, Then we create the astral body. That's the first creation. The dry land that talks the book of Genesis. That dry land is the astral body. And that astral body, of course, is the body that gives us individuality in the astral world. This is how we start going out of Malkut, going out of Asia, of Egypt, and to become individual. That's a process. So that's the astral, internal Christ that we have to build. That, according to the book of Genesis, is called Benjamin. Benjamin and the famous mystery of the cup hidden within the seed. Yeah.
You're talking about lunar religions being religions of certain races.
Mm-hmm.
Are all the religions of history more or less lunar religions?
Well, Jehovah is the ruler of all the lunar religions. Or, in other words, the moon. Jesus came in order to establish a solar, in order to make a big brotherhood, only one religion. And that's why the word Catholic means universal. Right, but now, I repeat, that is only the name in this day and age. Because really, if we go inside the religion, they don't have this knowledge. They forgot about it. The real Catholic Gnostic Church existed at the time of Jesus and his apostles. After that, it was lost. Because now all Christians are fornicators and adulterers.
What happened to that inheritance?
It's here. That inheritance is here in this knowledge, in this doctrine.
So
it was not lost. It was kept in secrecy. Because many individuals were very jealous and they wanted to control the doctrine, were burning alive Gnostics in the Middle Ages. Many Kabbalists, many alchemists were burned because they didn't want to. They wanted to control the doctrine, and that was humanity was betrayed. Humanity was taught that just by believing in Jesus, they are saved. Master Jesus is there and is a beautiful master, but if I believe in him, it doesn't save me. He can come personally and take me in my physical body to the Ain, and I will not understand anything. Because I have to work in myself in order to be there.
So you have to purify your blood.
You have to purify your blood by transmuting your sexual energy. That's the only way. And by meditating. Because in your blood you have inheritance of the past. And that's precisely, it's a work that we have to perform of alchemy. It's a process, step by step. It's not a process of 1 week or 1 month. Sometimes it takes lives. You know, it depends on the intensity of the work. Even though those that have a purpose to do it in one life, they do it.
So, if a person is sort of like a virgin, let's say, never fornicates, never does any of the things that, let's say, maybe their parents had and didn't influence, let's say, the virgin, and keeps chastity until the day she dies, does she reach that high level that you say up there? I'm trying to...
We're talking about scientific chastity, right, which is a transmutation, because people understand and think that chastity is just sexual abstinence. That is not chastity. That's wrong. To be in chastity means, if you are single and still are not married, then you have to transmute your sexual energy with pranayamas. That's chastity. And when you arrive at your matrimony, when you are got and married, and then you have to transmute in the same way your sexual energy while in sexual contact. You don't have to spill the sexual force. If you reach the orgasm or the spasm, and then you eat the fruit of the tree of good and evil, like the beasts, and that's That's not transmutation. That's what any beast do. The behemoth of the earth do that. They fornicate. That's why we stated, and we still state, that this humanity still is animal. Human beings is very rare to find, because human beings know the mystery of transmutation or transubstantiation, and they do it. But if you don't know this, if you think that just by sexual abstinence you are going to reach heaven now, it's impossible. Because it has to create inside of you the elements. Heaven is not something that you conquer after death, physical death. Heaven is something you conquer after death, psychological death. And for that you need meditation. For that you need to know alchemy. For that you need to be married and to do the work, to mix the two jars. Yes?
Who then is our intimate Christ?
Our intimate Christ is the astral body. But while we do not have that astral body, we have an atom of that intimate Christ in the left ventricle of the heart, which is the atom nous, is the atom that purifies the blood. And that's the atom that is in direct contact with the Elohim, with the Christ, which are outside. Because there are many Christs, not only one, many. Many that are one with the solar light. The highest of all of them is the Master of Aramentho, Jesus of Nazareth. Our monad is our own particular Christ. But that monad, our own particular Christ, if we don't have the astral bodies, if we have a still behemoth very strong in us, that particular individual Christ is a baby. Remember that Christ is not coming to the earth just like poof, like that. He is born as a baby. So we will state that that particular individual Christ is a baby inside of us. But remember that many children were killed at that time, is written. And that is precisely when you fornicate. You fornicate, you kill your child, your inner being. Yes?
What happens in blood transfusions and organ transplants?
Well, obviously, the blood is a vehicle of the soul. When you have blood transfusion, you are taking the elements of the others into your blood. That's unquestionable. But in case of death and life, well, take the blood. But obviously, in the blood, you take the inheritance of the others. Because the blood is the vehicle of the spirit.
Well, a couple's transmuting for years and years, and somehow they have to get transfusion.
How? How? A couple is the question that has transmuted for years and years, and some, all of a sudden, they need a transfusion. Why they need a transfusion all of a sudden? Oh, well, if I have an accident and I'm going to die, please don't give me any blood. Just let me die. I'm happy. You know, I am not afraid of death because I know what is there. I experienced many times what is up there in the other side, that if I die, I will be happy, very happy. Comes into my mind St. Francis of Assisi. When he went to evangelize, he is really a Christ, if you want to tell it. It's like a Christ in the physical body. He went to the Muslims and were talking about Christianity, and the Muslims were angry against him. Says, "We are going to kill you right now." And the Muslim were prescribing him how he was going to torture him and finally dying. And St. Francis of Assisi was smiling and happy. He said, "Why are you smiling? What is this?" "Well, because I'm going to die." "It's really, you are going to do that? I'm happy. Because it's the best to die for my Lord," he says. And then warrior said, "Okay, now I don't want to kill you. I don't want to make you happy." Right? And that's of course, if you read that, you will find the beautiful legend about St. Francis of Assisi. And many other great masters, right? That.
So it's not a good idea, like on my license, I have a check where it says organ. I'm serious.
Organ donor.
It's not a good idea.
Whatever you donate in this physical plane is going to remain this physical plane. Nobody is going to enter into the promised land with a transplant. believe me. Right? So there are many things that are being done in this physical world, so what? So many people that are vegetarians, other people that are this and that, so what? It's okay, be whatever you want to be, but remember, you have to be a mutant if you want to enter there. Yes? That's why, you see, the question is that the people that donate organs are in band with karma with other people that receive the organ. Obviously, it is. But let me tell you, those people are not in the path of self-realization, so it doesn't matter. Somebody received the organ of a pig in his body, because now the scientists or the doctors are transplanting organs of pigs into human beings. Into animal, intellectual animals, we will say. Because no human being will receive that. So what? Anyhow, animal into animal is okay. It doesn't matter. But if you are on the path of the self-realization, well, you have to be strict. Somebody said, you have my kidney sick. I have to heal my kidneys in a natural way. No operations, no transplants, nothing. Because that will ruin my transformation, my mutation. But if somebody is not a mutant, is only believing in Jesus or believing in Buddha or believing in Krishna, and if he wants to have a transplant, let it have it. So what? It doesn't change anything. It's just rotating in the wheel of samsara.
Accept that organ. He is willing to die because he has, in his mind, feeling that his mutation is going to be spiritually, psychologically to the path of God. So that, in that case, it means something. Because if you take an organ, you're slowing the process of mutation.
Yeah, of course. That's why I said if you are taking the organ, you are taking other elements. Psychological elements as well,
right,
that you have to fight against.
Yes. So then
you see, that's precisely what the Bible says. You shall not commit adultery. But adultery is not only the sexual act with another man the husband with another woman. That is not only adultery. Adultery comes from adulteration, to adulterate. If you accept other organ in your body that is not of your body, that is organ of other body, then you are adulterating your physical nature. For adultery is very common in this day and age. Everybody is doing it. But if you enter into the path, then you have to be strict, I said. Then you have to be careful. And if you enter and you already have a transplant, well, it doesn't matter. You have to fight anyhow, because the work is internal. I know a man, for instance, that entered and he had a vasectomy. I said, well, do whatever you have to do now. In the next life, the Great White Lodge will give you a new body, because you will work. You just committed that mistake without knowing. Now you know, well, what can you do? You have the vasectomy. Or you have, because it's a reverse operation, it says, well, you got to have it. But go ahead. That's why if you enter being circumcised, keep ahead. If you enter not being circumcised, keep ahead. Just go ahead. The work is inside. I answered the question without asking?
Yes.
Oh, well, you see. Okay, this is it. Thank you very much, and the next lecture is the devil, so be careful.
Gnostic Radio is made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. To make a tax-deductible donation, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. For questions about this or other lectures, we invite you to participate in the free discussion forum at GnosticTeachings.org. Thank you for your support. May all beings be happy.